Blog Talk Radio.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.
And welcome to the On the Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. We have to thank God for another day of being here, ladies and gentlemen. As you all know, my family and I were in a car accident, just running on 3 weeks now, and every day I'm even more grateful since the car, if you see it, you would understand the impact and the fear, but we are sitting here alive and okay. I have a few shout-outs today to say thank you to. So the first thing that I'm going to do, I already shouted out my Lord. Got to shout-out my kids, all of them, my co-host and a special child from another mother, Delasia, and my grandson, Amari. Terry Banks, who can't be with us tonight, but as always, he's very supportive on and off the air, very, very substantial in contributions to the discussion, so I want to thank you for that. I also want to shout out some special people who have actually been helping my family and I soften the blow of this accident, and that is to an amazing, and guys, if you're in the Auburndale area in New York, you have any back problems, any nerve problems, anything like that, I have an amazing, amazing doctor to refer to you. His name is Dr. Mark Knight. He is out in Auburndale, New York. He's a chiropractor, but let me tell you, him and his amazing assistant, Adrian, and the staff of any other service you may need in that office, they are efficient in what they do. They are amazing people overall. They make you feel like you are family, not just patients, and they have gentle but effective touches to whatever your issues are. So that is my personal recommendation. I want to thank them for what they have done for our bodies as well as our state of mind with regards to this. And, you know, hopefully if they're listening in, they can feel the need to chime in because they also have some very great input on some topics going on out there. So that's that. I think I've gotten everybody, but if I didn't, listen, all of you out there, well, can't forget my listeners. You guys have been amazing. You have been amazing. You have been supportive, and, you know, you have definitely made this show something worth going on, keeping on, and recreating all the time. So that's something I want to say. So tonight, guys, I want to speak about this little rising craze that seems to be happening and where social media is turning kind of silly for adults, but it's damaging kids. But however, while I'm talking about the overall subject, in particular, the catalyst that I want to touch on tonight is Judge Marilyn Million. Those of you who don't know her by name, she was the longest running and first Latina female judge for the People's Court. She has a new show that aired last month sometime after People's Court was canceled. Now, I, you know, decided to check it out for the first time. She's actually been on. She's got about 30 episodes in already. However, I just saw it, you know, because normally I watch in Judge Judy. I watch a few of the People's Court reruns. But I decided to check out, like, what her new show is about. So it just so happens that I came across a segment. Now, I don't know if the segments run this way, like in three parts, because I don't watch the show when it's being syndicated live, but I actually saw a YouTube video of it, and it seemed like it was official, and it had 3 15-minute segments in it about. So the first one, it was a case about something that took place in a Little League sports team, and a parent was suing the team for unlawful termination of her son's membership. Now, right after that came the case I want to speak about tonight. So this mom had a daughter that she put into an after-school program to enrich her math. Now, we have to get to the sponsors and stuff before, so I'm going to give you guys a little pre-knowledge of what's going on. So this lady brought her child to an after-school enrichment program to help her daughter, you know, catch up and brush up and, you know, let me not say brush up. She needed help with math. So apparently something was brought to the attention of the teacher where something was going on with the child cheating or doing something like that, and she told the mom. So how it became a lawsuit, I'll tell you after the break. So with that being said, I have to get out there. Our sponsors tonight, and I want to thank Coach Ema Cook. I'm so proud of her. She has gotten her life coach offices up and running. She hasn't gotten any clients yet, but she is open for business. She hasn't got all her official business cards and everything yet because apparently the design that she gave them didn't turn out to be what she needed it to be. So you guys have had the honor of hearing her on my previous segment when we spoke about, you know, her viral video that went around where she was saying F them kids, but she wasn't saying it in the way everybody tried to persecute her for. So we spoke about that, and she has been an amazing person to network with. So she is now up and running out in Georgia, and she has some life coach counseling. She has some life coach counseling offices that she's open, and she was showing us her journey through her video blogs on Instagram. And I'm absolutely proud of her. She's one of my heroes, and I want to thank all of you for welcoming her on the show. So let's get out with this. I actually had a request that two of my son's group's songs, one is called Other Me, and the other one was the new birthday song that I played, that they played for my birthday as my gift. And people actually loved it, and I was getting some requests. So I will go out with the birthday song first with the commercials for our sponsors, and then we'll get back to talk about tonight's topic entitled Social Media Discipline. Is it really getting the message across to our kids? That is the topic. So I'm going to go out tonight. Let's start off with Untitled with Hold Our Hand. That's a birthday song for mom. We're going to go to our sponsors, and then we'll be back. And then before the night is out, our next commercial break will be your request, Maria and Rita, for The Other Me featuring Cinnabon, and we will be back. So don't go away, guys. Let's start.
New York, New York. There's no place like it. You figure that out when you find yourself in a bit of trouble while vacationing or visiting in Florida. And Florida cops are sure as heck not like New York City cops. You're feeling more than put out or simply just confused with it all. But you want justice. You need it to be right, and you want someone who understands where you're coming from. You need Kenneth Foote, attorney at law. Graduate of St. John's University and Florida Stetson University, he'll make sure you're back on track and everything's straightened away. Driving violations, personal injury, drug charges, he's here to work with you as well as for you. Leave nothing to chance. K.L. Foote, attorneys at law, 877-90-FOOTE or klfoote.com. Kenneth Foote, the New Yorker to contact in Florida.
The On the Edge Show with KD Barnett and friends, the show that gives you real talk about real issues, needs your help. KD and the gang are seeking out individuals and local business sponsors to help fund their projects for youth and minority communities to become re-empowered, featuring programs like the Spread Your Wings Showcase, offering free advertising to up-and-coming entrepreneurs, Youth Day giving public school grades 4 to 12 a taste of the arts, and All Hands on Deck, our new writer's showcase. On the Edge is looking to give back to our communities by giving our youth a future. Your small contribution will make a difference. Individuals or small businesses can choose to be a sponsor for any amount of time. And businesses can also choose to advertise with us at very reasonable rates. Choose any type of show sponsorship, and you just may be a sponsor for a life. Visit us at Facebook at facebook.com on the Edge Show for more information on how you can be a part of our vision. We hope to see you there.
Yeah, you always gave us love at our worst points. Yeah, you always gave us everything we asked for. When there was nothing there, nothing to hope for. No one can compare. You were always there to hold our hand. Hold our hand. You were always there to hold our hand. Hold our hand. Hold our hand. You were always there to hold our hand.
Always taught us to fight our demons, always taught us to stand strong, always taught us to keep believing, always taught us to keep pushing on. You never let us fall down, you guided us through all darkness. Before we knew how to count, you always made sure we were breathing. You gave us a miracle, and that miracle is life. Yeah, we're forever grateful. No words can ever describe how much we love you and adore you. So many beautiful things through all of the awful. You stay hopeful, and that's all
yeah,
that we
you
see.
Always
yeah.
Give us love at our worst points. Yeah, you always gave us everything we asked for. When there was nothing there, nothing to hope for. No one can compare. You were always there to hold our hand. Hold our hand. You were always there to hold our hand. Hold our hand. Hold our hand. You were always there to hold our hand. Yeah, you always gave us love at our worst points. Gave us everything we asked for. When there was nothing there, nothing to hope for. No one can compare. You were always there to hold our hand. Hold our hand. You were always there to hold our hand. Hold our hand. Hold our hand. You were always there to hold our hand. Whoa.
Going through a lot, but you never let anything stop you. Even when you're dealing with the worst, you always let faith guide you. You never let pain defy you, no matter how big or small. I've seen you get through it all. You're an angel in disguise, always there when I need you the most. Yeah, chest pumped, head high, natural confidence, no need to boast. Single-handedly doing it all, no one compares, cause you were the GOAT. Devil trying to ruin your pride, you don't even worry, he's doing the most. You're a child of God, you give out your hand, you know that he'll keep you afloat. And I know that he'll keep you afloat, Ma. Because we all know you're a great person. So this is our happy birthday to you. You know, we've been through a lot. You've been through a lot. We love
yeah,
you.
Yeah, you always gave us love at our worst point. Yeah, you always gave us everything we asked for. When there was nothing there, nothing to hope for. No one can compare. You were always there to hold our hand. Hold our hand. You were always there.
Now, back with more On the Edge.
And welcome back, everybody, to the On the Edge show with Katie Barnett. I am so honored to be here with all of you once again. So let's get right down to tonight's subject. So let me bring you up to speed on what tonight's catalyst topic was inspired by. Now, I've had those of you that are long-term listeners, I don't say followers because I am nobody's, guru, but for those of you that are a part of this family, this lounge here, you know that we have had a previous discussion on Facebook discipline, these parents that's out there doing these crazy things. Now, I'm not unfair to understand the plight that we parents are up against with today's interfering governments, a very lax and lackadaisical society allowing our kids to do anything. You guys know my pet peeve on that. You know, they're holding us accountable while they're taking away every right that we have as a parent to raise our children our way. And there's going to be another thing I'll be talking about next week when I talk about this stalker public Board of Education system that's coming up when your kids are absent. But things like that get in our way, and it interferes with us raising our children. And a lot of the things that we say is that a lot of our old school ways, us, this last generation of that had the village around them, there are plenty of things that we feel that, you know, our parents took a little too far, or, you know, we wouldn't have ever done. But some things we could see the wisdom in it now. However, this here, this right here. The name of this new show Judge Marilyn Million has out is called Justice for the People with Judge Million. This particular segment, if you see it on YouTube, you're going to see the title for it is going to say Bully Ball, but that is the first case. It's not the case that I'm speaking about, but that is the case that precedes this one in the segment sequence. Now, what happened was when I got to the second case, this mother, her name is Stacey Canning. The case, ladies and gentlemen, if you have to read it on the episode list, it's not in any Google search. You're deliberately going to have to go like to the official site of Justice for the People with Judge Million. You're going to have to look in the episode list. And if you see one that says Bully Ball and it comes in segments of threes, then that's the one you're looking for. If not, the name of the defendant, of the plaintiff versus defendant, was Stacey Canning versus Michelle Dayton. Okay, it's Dayton, but it's spelled D-A-T-A-N like Nancy. And I'm putting you out there, lady, because you deserve everything that we're about to say to you. Because even after the show, when they did the post-show commentary, she didn't seem to think she did a darn thing wrong. She didn't seem to think that what she did was way over the cuff. And when you parents hear me tonight, and for those of you who have been with me, who are my friends listening in and watch the show with me, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So let's get started. And then we have my co-host, Asia, is here with me tonight. I'm going to bring her in just a bit. So I'm going to start with this. This lady paid, listen to this, this mother paid $2,500 for a whole summer full 6-week course of enrichment for her children, her child, her daughter, her 11-year-old daughter. The child is 11 years old, okay, struggling in math. This mother is paying $2,500 in cash for her child to get help from a certified teacher offering this help, okay, to troubled kids or children who just can't seem to, you know, fit in or get it together. So, okay, great with that. Now, what happened was this teacher apparently saw or believed she saw that her student, the plaintiff's daughter, was cheating. So what she did was she informed the mother after class, apparently one day, that I believe your daughter's cheating. The words that she used were, I suspect that your daughter may possibly be cheating. She didn't tell this mom right away anything that was definitive, but she said, I suspect that your daughter may be cheating. I think I saw her looking at other people's papers during the pop quiz. Okay. Now, already that's a little, you know, that's a little disturbing, and it's kind of iffy, but okay. The mother's reaction was to say, really? No. Okay, but I need to see evidence. All right? I found that a little kind of crazy for a mother to say that, you know, your teacher's coming and telling you that she thinks that your daughter's involved in something and you say you need evidence. But I think I'm understanding. I'm going to just blow that off a little bit, give both of them the benefit of the doubt. Now, from the way, if you see this hearing, you're going to see this teacher that it seems like when the mother told her she needed to get evidence, she seemed to be more focused in catching this little girl red-handed more than understanding that as a teacher, that's a disturbing thing that you got to address with the child. But let's leave that off for a little bit later. So now she's going around this class and she is looking for a way to tell this mother, because apparently she might have been, you know, put off by the way the mother said, I want evidence. And if you see the little girl's mom, I guess, you know, she could come off like kind of abrasive to you. And if you were somebody else, you'd be like, okay, yeah, she's somebody I might want to smack in the face, you know, when I see her, if she gets naughty. But okay, regardless of what, It ain't the mother that's the, it's not the mother that's the problem. It's not the mother that matters. It's the child. So this teacher winds up getting what she needed, the smoking gun, where she goes and she gets a picture of the child with written answers on the palm of her hand. Now, if you saw the picture, which if you watched the hearing, you will see it. There is a clearly enough of the child's face in the picture that anybody in that knows her will automatically know who it is that's in her class. So this teacher took a photo of the child's hand, the child's face, and some of her hair. And even though it wasn't a full face, a full frontal of the face, she is enough to identify her. Now, there's so much that I'm going to tell you that is so off about this teacher. Now, if you heard the testimony, which, you know, they were already riled up about what the teacher did in the first place, but they missed this part, which I didn't. This lady testified that she took a picture of this child's hand in front of her classmates while telling the classmates that cheating is no good as she's taking a picture in front of the girl's classmates. Then she takes the picture to the mom, never once approached the girl to tell her that we have to talk about this or any warning or anything, which that, again, we're going to address after. So she takes a picture of this child's hand in front of her classmates, 12 of them. Then she takes the picture, shows some of the girl's identifying features. So that's that. She shows it to the mom. Okay, we understand why you take a picture. Show it to the mother who wants proof, blah, blah, blah. Okay. But then, after the mom got it, after the child was approached and now, you know, embarrassed already and now scared with the mom, this teacher decided to take it upon herself to post that child's picture on social media. When now this child was not only already raked over the coals for something that she, when the judge asked her, why did you do it, Amaya? She said, I was scared. I've always had a problem with being left out of the crowd or the loop. All these pressuring students of mine, co-classmates of mine, were telling me that everybody's cheating and the only way that I'm even going to pass this program is by cheating. Okay? So she did. And with that, the judge railed on this teacher. This teacher's defense was, and wait for it, people, this teacher's defense was, I wasn't doing it to single her out, because the judge said, how could you single her out that way? First of all, there's a whole lot more to that picture being posted than just her singling out a child. So let me tow it in, ladies and gentlemen. Because, you know, as a mother of a very large army, biological and all, my goat is boiling, okay? Having served on the SLT in New York, that is for the Board of Education's school leadership team, which consists of parent representatives as well as official representatives and the principal, so that you can discuss things that go wrong, what children should be protected with, because parents have a voice for their kids and teachers have a voice for their school. So all of that, as a member of all of that, to know that this went on is lighting my fire. So let's go back. So she asks this teacher, what in God's green earth possessed her to think it was okay on any level to post this child's transgression online to social media? This lady, trying to sound educated, bougie, perfected, says to the judge, and she goes, and the judge says, how could you single her out that way about something like this? I didn't do it to single her out. I did it as a teaching moment for the other children so that you could understand that cheating gets you nowhere. And she goes, oh, so it was a teaching moment. She goes, you know, like, you know, that was the way kids think and learn and pay attention now is through social media. So I figured that I could, you know, put this on social media. And she goes, you know, as opposed to putting her in the corner. She goes, oh, don't put her in the corner. This is the judge being sarcastic. Don't put her in the corner. No, that's not what you're going to do. What you're going to do is you put a scarlet letter on her chest. And to those of you who don't understand that back in the old days, whenever a woman did something as egregious as commit an affair or had adultery or whatever the case is, the punishment was for her to be the town pariah and the town shame, and she would have to wear a red letter on her chest to let everybody know she was an adulteress, or whatever her sin was. That was, you put a red letter on you, had to walk through town to let everybody know that you are being advertised as this town pariah for some egregious infraction. So this is where we're at on this. So the next thing that happens is she tried to explain that, and the judge was having none of it. The judge was having none of it, and neither was any red-blooded, solid parent, okay, that was watching, not one. So the judge let her have it. The judge pretty much told her off, and she found there was no way in any way that she was going to be able to explain herself. So she goes, so your first move was not to go approach the child, because according to the child, she didn't even know that anybody knew she was cheating. So you didn't go to the child and say, why did you do this? We need to talk about this. What do you need? You fail to understand that her cheating is not on her. It's on you. Your program is failing. You are the one that have to meet the child at her level and understand this. So that was the next thing. The fact that you went from something that the child was already afraid, already feeling out of place, and then you put her on social media thinking that this was a teachable moment, you didn't do it for the child. You did that for you, so that you could embarrass this child and with your friends, like all people do when they're looking for some sort of shock value conversation to get some likes and attention. With that being said, the question I have for all of you tonight is it ever okay for adults to post their child's transgressions online to address it or deal with it? And two, do you think that that is effective as a teaching mechanism and will correct the child's behavior? Especially I need to know on part one, whether or not it matters if your opinion would change if a teacher did it versus a parent. So let's bring in my co-host first. Welcome to the show, Asia. You there?
Hello, Katie.
Yes. Hi, darling. Okay. So, and by the way, before I get you on, my dear, listeners, I want to hear from you, parents, teachers, anyone who has any feeling about this on either end of the viewpoint. I would like to hear from you to tell me what you think about this. And you have to call the number. You cannot access the discussion from the live stream, okay? So if you are going to call in, you have to call 347-327-9967. You must press 1. Also, because a lot of people are new to the way podcasts work, if you're calling from listening in on the stream and you call the phone, you're going to have to turn down the volume of your streaming device so that we don't have echo and doubles and feedback. Okay. Welcome, Asia. I would like to know from you, my darling, what do you think about the situation? And I do need you to answer, do you think it's ever okay for adults to post that type of stuff online, anything a children did as a form of discipline on social media? And if you don't think so, does your mind, your answer change if you found out that it was a teacher who did it or some other adult in your child's life, in the child's life? That's the first question. Go on.
Okay, at first I just want to start, can we just agree that social media has gotten people in a frenzy? They feel as though if it's not posted, it doesn't happen. Or, I mean, they can't have a memory without posting it. Or they just feel the need to post and get the affirmations or whatever that they're missing from social media, not knowing how dangerous social media is. Now, to answer your question, yes, I have seen that court case, that unfortunate court case, and I don't agree posting a minor is not the way to go because it's basically public humiliation. Let's just call it spade a spade. You are humiliating that child for whatever reason that you find, whether it's a teaching moment, whether, oh, I just want to show what they've been up to, it is humiliating them. And whether it's a teacher, it makes it even worse because you're supposed to be an advocate for children. You're supposed to be a mentor. You're supposed to be teaching them right from wrong. But to then be that person, as that teacher was in that episode, to turn around and do something of that nature, it is wrong. Now, same thing for the parents that feel, well, this is my child. I can do what I want. I gave birth to them. That doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it right for the teachers, the principals, the parents, nothing. The siblings, it just does not. It doesn't teach them what they want to be taught. So if you're trying to teach your child, this is not the right thing to do, to then go online and bash them in front of 1,000 people, 500,000, whatever amount of views or comments or likes that you get, it's not teaching them what you want to be taught.
Right. Absolutely. I agree with that part. Now, with this teacher, I'm going to say this to you, and I don't know if you agree, but, before I go there, got to ask you the part two. Do you think that social media, doing it this way, do you think that it's effective in teaching any positive lessons or correcting the child's behavior? Do you think these kids get that?
Not at all. Not if the parent is purposely trying to hurt the child, but then flipping it and using it as, oh, I'm teaching them to do better.
Now, and I agree. Believe it or not, I agree with everything down the line that you said. Normally, you and I have like a little, we'll have a little difference of opinion somewhere in the middle about like, well, honestly, from my generation, we do it like this. But let me say this. Let's get off the social media aspect part of this when it comes to this teacher for a second. Anybody knows that school officials have absolutely no right to publicly post any type of proprietary information about your children or confidential information about your children anywhere, okay? They don't have the right to put your child's name, date of birth, address, phone number, mama's name, daddy's name on anything public. Everything stays in the office. Everything stays between the parents and whatever. So that alone is, to me, a criminal offense. If for nothing else, at the very least, an egregious ethical offense on the Board of Education policy, no matter which state it came from. Okay? Secondly, you put a child in jeopardy. You put a child in jeopardy. Jeopardy of her peers who instantly knew her because you embarrassed her in the class as it was. That's not a teaching moment. Okay? You embarrassed her in the class. Then you talk to the mom. Then, as you should have done with the mom, that's it. Then you further along take it upon yourself to take that picture and post it. Now, she claims it was for a teaching moment. If it was for a teaching moment so that you could get through to the masses because the children nowadays only go through the social media, then why didn't you crop out the girl's face? Then why didn't you just show a portion of what it was? Then why did you even think to do it at all? Since no matter how much you took out, you already exposed her in class and then on social media, because if she got friends in that class, that's her friends on Facebook or, well, I think Facebook is ancient to children now. I think it's more, you know, Instagram and things to that effect. You are 27 years old. That's the age that came out. What the judge said to her, not to spoil it for those that want to go see, pretty much was, I expect children to do that move. That's a move that kids do. They take it to the Facebook. I don't expect the adults to do it. That child was scared. That child was feeling out of place. That child's already embarrassed by having to be in an enrichment program in the first place. Her mother, by the looks of her, is probably down there, oh, no, you're not going to be getting all this, but you're going to get them grades together. You're going to do this. Then she's going to the teacher, you're going to give me evidence. I'm telling you this. So she's already got to deal with that. But this teacher's job was to meet her at her level, was to bring her across, was to bridge the gap to whatever the hell it is that brought her to an after-school enrichment program that her mom is paying for. And I can guarantee you that mama was letting her know that about every dollar and cent she was putting in there. So that little girl was under pressure to come back with better grades than she went in with. And she told the judge, I didn't feel like my teachers were teaching me what I needed to know. That, my dear, is on the adult. It's not that, never once did this teacher mention that Amaya, the 11-year-old baby, was a problem child. She never said that the child was disruptive in the program. She never mentioned that there was any type of obstacles given or put forth by the child for her to feel that she got to ignore the child or that the child is not getting anything out of this extra help. And even if she disliked the child, because if you saw her face throughout the trial, she was trying to make sure that this girl or this mom, you know, everything was out there. She was more like defending herself. The next thing that happened was she tried to, in every which way, to make it sound like she was doing something that every upstanding citizen would understand that I was doing, correct? She singled her out. She scarlet lettered her, exactly as the judge made the analogy of. She put personal information and images of this child on a nationwide, global-wide, worldwide platform. After already humiliating her by showing that she needed to cheat, humiliating her in front of her classmates by showing that she did cheat, having to bring her to court so that her mom could say on national TV what took place and she happened to testify to the judge that that's the reason why she had to do it. So now it comes out further that she still doesn't understand the subject. And you have this little bougie, teeny bopper professor coming out to my, I did it for a teaching moment. I mean, like, you know, that's what, and after the show was over, the hearing was over, that woman showed absolutely no type of remorse for the feelings that she put on the child, for the danger she put her in. She had what she said was that hopefully she'll do better. That was it. Which made me say that if I was the type of person I used to be, I would have jumped to the screen and managed to find a way to smack her. Don't quote me on that, listeners, just joking. Now, I was looking at a couple of articles where everybody that has something to say about it pretty much shows. I want to ask you something, because normally I come up with all these research articles, but you're online, and I really want all of you to jump in here and press one if you're on there and give me your thoughts. Now, I don't have to go to any kind of expert articles to say that as a mother, I've absolutely seen no improvement whatsoever since this big outburst of parental discipline online has come forth. If anything, I've seen kids angrier, doing it worse, more infractions. It's just mad, and now all it is a big old talk around there. I want to bring some examples up that's happened over the past few years so that I could explain or support my point. Everybody must know by now, if they don't remember, me bringing it up should spark the memory. When Freddie Gray and Michael Brown were all, you know, the protests about these two young men that were unfortunately gunned down, you know, to racism or taken down to racism. When Freddie Gray's rioters happened, I originally thought it was the Michael Ferguson riots, but apparently I'm corrected. Toya Graham is the name of this woman. The Baltimore riots protesting for Freddie Gray's, against Freddie Gray's killers. So this mother, apparently looking at the news and watching all the riots outside her door and everything, recognized her son in a mask being one of the people that was throwing things. And I say this again, I was with mom. I was all for mom when she ran through that crowd. She, and in her heat of fear and parental, you know, instinct, and she yanked that mask off. I know how we do. We mamas do. We sisters do that. You better get out of here. Get out of here. She told them, take that effing mask off. And she dragged her son, and she smacked him a couple of times, and she grabbed him and yanked him back through the crowd. Now, listen, everybody might have something to say about her smacking her son up or whatever. I try to understand what was going on. They were at a protest about a black man that was shot down by racist cops or killed by racist cops for whatever reason, that these guys didn't like this black man. This is her black son. And being involved with rioters where there was a line of cops waiting to put some bullets in them and get rid of them. She notices her baby is up there doing the same thing, and he's one of the people that is inciting a response or evoking a response from cops that's just dying to put him down. So I get it. All bets are off in any type of sanity, in any type of reason. You're going out there and you're going to go get your child. You think about it later. You got to get him out of the mess first. She's got him all the way back to her house. Now that, to me, I support it. And then somebody trying to deflect from what the mission was about follows her so that they could take the readers and viewers' mind off of the riots of all these black people out there going against cops and screaming about a black boy that had unjustly been killed. And they go to her and they go, "Oh, ma'am, we were just so impressed with you. Oh, my God, you ran out there and you got your son. Everybody was just so enamored with your bravery." Now she's probably just a civilian mama. And what did she do? She didn't turn around and keep it real then and say, "Okay, thank you for your praise or whatever it is you gave me, but I did not run through there to grab my son out of that danger so that I could give you guys a soundbite. Goodbye." No. She was like, "Yeah, well, because, you know, I don't play. My kids know I don't play. I'm not a mother that allows all that to happen, and I don't want my child getting this." And it didn't stop there. So the first time, okay, you said something you shouldn't have, you know, she closed the door. Then Oprah Winfrey called. She closed it. She go, "Wow, Oprah, all I did was get my son." Now you're looking at every next booking appointment. You're looking at every next booking appointment. But what you're not looking at is that you just humiliated your son, who was with a couple of friends, who probably are friends with these boys in school, who probably already got laughed at when his mom came out at the scene. Then there was moments to sit back and reflect and laugh at what they saw because the reporters kept airing it. So she'd unmasked him and hit him and dragged him and spoke to a reporter, then went on Oprah, then went on Good Morning America, then had him tell how he was in bed. "What did you do? Tell them. You tell them what I did, honey. What did I do? Do I play that?" You think that boy appreciated that or that he got the message? He went back to school, and you don't think that the ridicule continued or that he will forever be known as the kid whose mama snacked him up and went online? I fail to see where he's going to feel good about that. I'm going to allude back to you in just a minute, sweetie. I want to bring up a couple of more things. Then we have the father that shaved his child's hair, a little boy's hair, online because he got a bad report card. That little boy that I looked in there, he couldn't have been more than 6 or 7. And he gave him like a haircut that looked like somebody ripped out patches of hair and left him the white scalp, if you know what I'm saying. Another one shaved his kid's hair because of, he decided he's going to get this. Okay, my thing is, okay, you shaved his hair. Why post it on social media? Was that for his benefit or for you? There was another one where fathers had a 14 and a 13-year-old girl. He found out, and in his rage, he found out his daughters were openly twerking online to grown men that were on a computer. And he spanked them publicly. That was the issue. My thing at that time is that they don't know how dangerous that was. And I get it. Maybe he went a little far with some things, but whip them with your cord out of love and fear and protection, or have your black daughter be on the rest of the list of people being shot up and stuff because you already got 2 strikes against you, and then now you put yourself in danger. Now the latest. And there's a couple of others, but I'm going to get to this latest one. Because this one I do agree with, and I think that the haters are bashing this father wrongfully, and then I'm going to have your feedback on those. Brian Thornhill is his name? Okay. This father found out that his young son got kicked off a school bus for being a bully. Not being bullied, being a bully. So he went and said, oh, okay, you want to be on a school bus transportation where people are doing something for you to conveniently take you from one door to another, and you want to forfeit the privilege by experiencing egregious behavior that messes with other people's safety and comfort and right to be on the bus safe. All right. So normally I would drive you to school and it's raining today. Nope. You're going to go run to school and I'll be behind you. Don't worry. And he did. He filmed it while he was closely driving behind his child and said, you don't get the privilege of being chauffeured to school when you can't respect the chauffeur. All the children are there. And I understand that. They're trying to put this person, I'll be right there with both of you callers. They're trying to put this person as he did something wrong. And thankfully, there was a expert that got up there when the reporter reported the story and called this expert in to get their opinion, who said, I see nothing wrong with what this father did. This father instilled some exercise, which physical exercise is always good. He did not beat him. He did not show his face. He did not make him run alone. He did not put him in any danger. He's right there. So I think that a little discipline is okay. To me, the army does worse, but everybody says, yeah, Bill's character. Delasia, for just 1 minute, I wanted you to hear what you have to say, but there's a caller coming in, so I would like to hear from them and give them a chance, and then I'm going to come back to you, okay?
Yeah, no problem.
Welcome to the show, caller. You're on the air. Hello? Caller ending in 3195. Are you there? Okay. Okay, Delasia, I guess they didn't know what to say. So I want to ask you, what do you think of the examples I gave, especially the one that was just there?
Well, all besides the very last one, I do agree with the last one as you were talking about. That parent had pure intentions on correcting the action. Now, don't get me wrong, yes, he still posted it on social media, and that's what we're talking about, how posting the transgression is indeed something bad to do, but there was nothing, in my opinion, there was nothing that was far humiliation. The guy, his child decided that he wanted to be a bully, okay, fine, and you're going to get shown, you're going to act like a bully. You're going to suffer your consequences by yourself. You got kicked off the bus, now you have to walk to school. You have to run to school, or, you know, you got to figure out how to get to school. I'll be there with you, but you're going to have to walk this walk. You want to talk, you're going to have to walk it. Now, the other examples, it just shows, as you stated earlier, the parents are doing it not to prove their point, not to teach their child a lesson, but they're doing it for them. They're doing it with the sense of, hey, I don't want you doing this, so if I embarrass the heck out of you in front of your friends, your family, to whomever, then you won't do it again. That's majority of their mindset. If I embarrass the heck out of you, you won't do this again. You'll learn your lesson, right? Let's be honest. That's their teaching lesson, right? They'll learn their lesson. Not knowing that it's causing far more damage than whatever the child has done. Now, for example, as you was listing some, I vividly remember on social media about the time where this mother didn't want her daughter on, I believe it was Snapchat. She didn't want her daughter on Snapchat for whatever the reason may have been. It may have been inappropriate. She may just not have wanted her daughter on Snapchat for whatever reason. But to then go and take your child's phone and to record a Snapchat on her phone so that her friends, only her friends, can see, and to verbally abuse her. Talk about how you just finished physically abusing her and making her sit in a tub, and now that's her form of punishment. Or then going on to record her room. Oh, she's dirty. She doesn't wash. She doesn't do this. She doesn't clean. That is so far. It was so humid. I got secondhand embarrassment. Because it's thinking of when she goes to school, I don't think the parents that does this understand the child has a life after that. They're going to have to go to school. They're going to have to be around their peers. They're going to have to be around people that have seen the video, have heard about the video. So now she's getting, on top of the punishment that she quote-unquote gave her, she is now getting bullied. Because nowadays, everybody thinks something is funny, but they're not laughing with you because you're not laughing. They're laughing at you. So now when your child comes home and she's depressed or she's having harmful thoughts, you're sitting there as a parent as, oh, what did I do wrong? What's wrong with my child? Not knowing you caused that. Because social media is what you, where you ran to. Now, there's plenty of ways that you could have sat your child down for whatever that they did and spoke to them. For another example, this mother, I just seen this video, ironically. This mother was having an out with her child. I guess he wasn't respecting her, he wasn't doing his chores, for whatever reason. But she then, instead of talking to him, sitting him down, figuring out if they need a mediator or if they just need to find another route to figure out what's the discommunication, she dressed him up. And I mean dressed him up to the point where, you know, when you're walking down past some restaurants and they have those little signs that's kind of like leaning against each other and it has happy hour or today's menu, soup of the day. She dressed him up with that kind of sign and had him stand in a corner of the busiest intersection and wrote, I am lazy, I don't respect my mother, just abusive, just, and had him stand there. Not only stand there for everybody to see and walk past and read the sign and look at him and feel sorry for him, she then proceeds to get on live and verbally disrespect him. And because that's her child, she feels as though that was that was the correct form of action. Now, her son wants to disappear from what I gathered from after that. Her son wants to disappear from the world. He doesn't want to go outside. He doesn't want to do anything. And I don't think she understood. Now, she may have not meant that, but that's the cause. That's the consequences of your actions.
Listen, I agree with you on that. I saw one of a couple of years back where this Latina mother got there. She was like, okay, I'm waiting for a few more people to be live. So let me tell you this. My daughter, who's only blah, blah, blah age, decided that she's going to get on Snapchat talking about this, talking about the P word, talking. Listen, mama, believe me. First of all, I want to be a little fair about one thing. We parents are got our backs up against the wall. I'll say it again. I don't know what kind of mutation this society is under. I don't know if, like, you know, the aliens from V, from that series back in the day, you know, like, really came down from enemy, the, you know, like the Independence Day films, and like they put a whole bunch of space dust, because I don't know what universe I'm in. I don't know if I'm praying that the Twilight Zone host is going to get resurrected and say, you're walking into the Twilight Zone, to explain everything. Because some of these moms look like they're trying to be their kids. The kids are like some mutated, you know, overage adults with underage pain. Like, it's just ridiculous. However, to be fair, a lot of these parents are desperate to try to defend themselves to the court of public opinion. Because while this society is telling all of our kids, go have sex, go have an abortion, pick a condom, any condom, pick a contraception, any contraception, go outside, go get hypersexualized. Listen, when you want to become a singer, take off all your clothes, just finger yourself, do what you got to do, no problem. Guess what? You can do all of that. Just don't tell your mother. However, but wait. If the birth control goes bad, if the abortion is no good, if the vasectomy went this way, if the condom has latex and you're allergic, if any of this goes bad, we can't treat you without your parents. And by the way, parents, why didn't you take care of them? Why didn't you raise them? You know how many times I've heard neighbors when during the George Floyd protests and all this stuff, where I've heard people who had already a natural hatred for teenagers in their old age because they forgot they were teens once. You know, say, well, if they put their pants up, these cops wouldn't be coming after them. If they did this, yeah, and then they want to have this stupid, you know, like passive aggressive, negative, positive, you know, negative positivity to say, no, social media is a double-edged sword, and then it could be your best friend. But it's up to the user, the way that they use it. It's up to a parent. Now, listen, I agree with that father who made his child run to school. I appreciate that he posted it. You know why? Because it was a perfect example of how to do social media disciplining and still have your child's best interest and the protection of parental safety net around them. It was a perfect example. The boy's face wasn't shown. The There was no abuse, verbally or otherwise. He was saying as he was filming, this is what happens when you remove a privilege by egregious behavior. This is what happens when you are a bully. Bullying is not acceptable to receive or to give. This is what happens. Understand that the school bus is a privilege, because if you don't have a school bus, then you take transportation. If I can't come pick you up, you get on the bus and you wait, and hopefully you'll get a seat, and hopefully the bus doesn't break down, and nobody's going to look at you and care about where you're at because it's a public bus. So guess what? You pick a choice. You want to live like a civilized human being, or do you want to be a bully and get nothing? So he did nothing wrong. And not for nothing, today's youth is lazy, flabby, they're out of shape, and you know most of them. And guess what? What's a little physical exercise on the way? I'm sure that father wasn't going to make that kid run like he was in boot camp training to the point of exhaustion. I'm sure he wasn't, because if he did, he would have been left the boy to go running from school, whatever, and caught up with him at the other end. He was right there with his child, and he wasn't abusive, and he wasn't going, and you see, listen to this, tell them, do I give a F? Do I do this? He didn't do none of that. He did none of that. So there are things I agree that could be done, and that this is some social media methods of disciplining can be done. We are desperate as parents to defend ourselves, because all of us out there are not trying to be our children's friends. We are the last of the Mohegans trying to teach our children to grow up and be respectable in a world that doesn't respect them. We are out there trying. You know how many times I can't stand that my children come home after I told them, listen, you got to give your teacher every benefit of the doubt. If somebody bullies you, try to give them a chance to rectify it. And then if they don't, then all bets are off. Defend yourself. Only to have that teacher who saw it coming and saw it happening, didn't do anything, turn around and say, well, both of them got to be suspended because they both fought. No, 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 ma'am. What is he supposed to do if somebody's coming at him with a wooden block to hit him in the head? Oh, there's a no fighting policy? Go kick rocks with that one. But I do see what I'm upset with this growing trend is that most of the parents, one out of every five, I'm going to say even less than that, I'm going to say one out of every two or three that I see, the parents aren't doing it for the overall objective of teaching their children in a manner that's nourishing and encompassing and firm, while doing it in a way where they can understand you're being seen. This is what people need to understand. I'm using my experience to give you a teaching lesson because I care about you and the community. No, they're doing that. I want to let y'all know I don't teach my children to do this. These children are going to learn. Yes, they are. And yes, they do. And yes, we do need to say that. We do need to say that. And maybe we could even say it on a platform where people are listening. But we need to do it in a way where it comes across as I care about my kid. I also care about you parents that are going out there feeling this way like me. So let's all do something about it. Maybe we could come together as a community. I did not present this video in a way that is going to embarrass my child to the point of detriment. If you're going to, for example, we spoke about this, Asia, the reporter dad, the one that he says, hi, this Justin. And he goes around and he has his children all playing a role in there, showing real life scenarios. When your child is a teenager and think that they could talk to you any kind of way and still keep a phone that you bought, you pay for and sustain service for, and thinking that that's a right, not a privilege. Or they have a door on their room. Okay, this is my house. I pay the bills. I chose to give you the privilege of having a space for yourself. But you don't know how to keep it clean. You don't want to join in into the collective operations and do your part. Well, this is what happens. Then you don't have that space. That's what he did. He unhinged the door and said, this is exactly how you take care of this. And his series has been positive, humorous, but true. And they're not being abused, and they're not being humiliated. It's a fact. So social media discipline can be used the right way even though I myself don't think that certain things should be on the air. I do believe we could then take a show like this or any other one and then turn that experience into a teaching moment for the community and the children. So I'm gonna digress to you, and you tell me your feedback on this.
I agree with everything that you're saying. The parents, if you're going to post on social media, make sure you're doing it in a form of where the child won't be embarrassed, humiliated, that there's no setback, that they're actually learning their lesson.
No blowback as well. Nothing that the children can't look back on and get that teaching moment that you're saying this is for. Okay? I think that, listen, you know, the mother that stood there and waited until she got a bunch of live people so she could talk about what her daughter said to some boy, as if hormones aren't something that's going to be in flaring up at this time in her life. It's your job not to sit there and say, well, since you're going to do it anyway, I might as well let you do it in front of me. No. Since you did it, and I'm pissed off about it because now I have to come to grips with the fact that my baby has now reached that point that we all dread, where the hormones are tingling, and you did something without, you know, doing it in a way that would be respectful to you because you didn't know yet. So I'm mad. Now I'm going to go out there and I'm going to shame you for it. That's not the way to go. What this teacher did, which is the main reason for this, was absolutely unacceptable on all levels. On all levels. Because first of all, she's supposed to act like a surrogate parent for whatever time my child is in your care. Okay? You can't go as far as disciplining them on the way that I can, but you definitely have a mandatory obligation to keep my child safe, to keep my child well rounded in every aspect of the word, because you are an extension of the village that is needed for these children. And as the judge said, why didn't you try to connect with the child? Why didn't you try to see where she was coming from? And what was the big thing about you feeling that it was absolutely necessary to post an 11-year-old minor child onto social media, which is open to every and anybody at any place, at any time, at any longitude and latitude points of any variation, of any deviation, of any type of fetish, of any, who's to say? Nowadays, where fraud and cyber crimes are happening on a flow water basis, you decide to further endanger this child's everything, her physical well-being, her state of mind well-being, her peer pressure. And you're the teacher, the one that is supposed to be one of the portals and the outlets that these children are supposed to go to navigate through that tough point in their life. Because nowadays, the awkwardness of high school is now happening as young as late elementary school. She's already under pressure of not faring well in an academic subject and a mandatory academic subject to top it off in order for her to promote. Then she's got a mom that, if anybody saw that mom is no nonsense, don't play, and put money out. Then you have a teacher who's bougie and walking around trying to think that she's more than she's not, because I've got the degrees and I'm the teacher and I'm the one that's got to come to your child and I'm telling you, your child, this, and there's no help there. And then the child is saying, I cheated because I feel like even with this program, the my teachers aren't helping me. Whose fault is that? Whose fault is it? It is not on the child to understand. It's up to you to make her understand. And like I said, if the teacher had said, we try to teach Amaya, but Amaya is disruptive in class. We try to teach her. I've given her extra work. I've even given her some cliff notes to show her how to go to it. And no, she said nothing was wrong with the child's behavior. Nothing. But she was dying to find that smoking gun to make sure that 11-year-old kid was persecuted. That's what I'm asking. Does social media discipline actually get that message you claim you're trying to give them across, or does it cause more harm? Does a teacher have the right at any point in time for any reason to post a child's transgression in class or in any activity online as a teaching moment. I need to go to break for just a few. Now to Maria, who's asking for Untitled's Other Me. That's going to go out. A word from our sponsors, and we'll be back to finish this conversation. Those of you listening by live stream, if you are going, oh, I've got something to say, you can't do it through the computer. You have to call 347-327-9967, and you must press 1. And if I say, welcome to the show, caller, you're on the air, and you hear it, that's only in your ears, so that means it's you that I'm talking to, and you can reply and answer, okay? So give me just a bit. Going to go out with the other me, word from our sponsors, and we will be right back. Don't go away.
Like it. You figure that out when you find yourself in a bit of trouble while vacationing or visiting in Florida. And Florida cops are sure as heck not like New York City cops. You're feeling more than put out or simply just confused with it all. But you want justice. You need it to be right, and you want someone who understands where you're coming from. You need Kenneth Foote, attorney at law. Graduate of St. John's University and Florida Stetson University, he'll make sure you're back on track and everything's straightened away. Driving violations, personal injury, drug charges, he's here to work with you as well as for you. Leave nothing to chance. K.L. Foote, Attorneys at Law, 877-90-FOOTE or klfoote.com. Kenneth Foote, the New Yorker, to contact in Florida.
The On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends, the show that gives you real talk about real issues, needs your help. Katie and the gang are seeking out individuals and local business sponsors to help fund their projects for youth and minority communities to become re-empowered, featuring programs like the Spread Your Wings Showcase, offering free advertising to up-and-coming entrepreneurs, Youth Day giving public school grades 4 to 12 a taste of the arts, and All Hands on Deck, our new writer's showcase. On the Edge is looking to give back to our communities by giving our youth a future. Your small contribution will make a difference. Individuals or small businesses can choose to be a sponsor for any amount of time. And businesses can also choose to advertise with us at very reasonable rates. Choose any type of show sponsorship, and you just may be a sponsor for a life. Visit us at Facebook at facebook.com On the Edge Show for more information on how you can be a part of our vision. We hope to see you there.
You're listening to On the Edge.
Welcome back, everybody, to the On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends, and with my guest host, Asia. Thank you. And I'm getting a couple of on the chat room comments. One person said, absolutely not with that teacher, that there's no excuse for putting that child's business out there about her needing to be cheating, about her having any kind of struggles. She was there under a payment from, okay, guys, hold on. I'm trying to read these small little words. Okay, she's there on a paid scholarship pretty much from her mom. And what happens with her? Oh, academic progress is on the teacher. You're absolutely right, Katie. It's on the teacher to come down to the level. Despicable what she did. I agree, Magdalene. I agree. All right. We have a caller coming in. Give me 1 second. Welcome to the show, caller. You're on the air.
Hi, Katie. Hi, Asia.
Who are we speaking with?
Christina.
Hi, Christina. You guys already mentioned, huh? This is Christina V, my baby. She's amazing. Okay. She's somebody that does for the community, too, and she is a kick-ass mom. So let me, I'm sorry, I meant to say kick butt. Sorry about that. So let me ask you, Christina, from your mama's point of view, and I need you to turn down whatever you're listening to just a bit, okay? So let me ask you, do you think that it's ever okay for an adult to post a child's transgression on social media as a form of discipline or teaching? That's number one.
No, I don't think that they should.
Okay. You don't think so. So does that opinion or response change if it was a teacher who did it?
No, I don't think that the teacher should have done that. I think she was totally wrong.
Okay. Do you think that the social media thing, this new trend that everyone's doing with posting their kids' interactions and doing some egregious thing, do you think that it's effective in getting a positive message across, or do you think that it does nothing for it and does it hurt the kids more? That's my question.
I think it hurts the kids more, and honestly, if, like, that's personal business, it shouldn't be aired out on the air or on the computers. I don't like that. I would never do that to my kids or, like, you know, I have had in the past. My mom has done that, and I didn't like it when she did it either. Like, it's not good to do that.
Yeah, I agree with you, and definitely, Asia, you agree, correct?
Yes, I do.
So we have that consensus here. And I think, you know what, I know a lot of times, like, you know, I get a couple of male guys going, yeah, you ladies get together and you all. No, this is from parents, men too. Like, there's a lot of men which, ooh, kudos to you brothers stepping up. And I mean it. Kudos to you men stepping up and having something to say about this when I see some of these comments, especially those that I know I've networked with, and there's some real solid, like, you know, real men of the village and stuff. This is not the way that you get that type of message across. Like, for right now, For example, you know what? I'm going to give a perfect example as to why this doesn't help. Children that have anxiety, depression, children that are in a state of agoraphobia, not so much they don't like going outside for physical reasons, but this social, you know, mental bashing from society causes, you know, kids to become more hermits for fear of facing any type of adversity out there. You know, no adults are left to tell them that this is a phase and you're perfect the way you are and you have your own thing that you can do. No adult is left. All these dumb adults are out there trying to be their kids. Now with the new social media, all you see is that I'm 55 and still lovely. I'm 60, I'm this and that. Yeah, let's do all that. But don't forget the role we have and the milestone that we're at in our ages. It's one thing, because please, I still feel like a dinosaur while I know social media. You know, so I'm saying this is not your time. Your time is to raise your children. Your time is to still be that village that our ancestors had the decency to give us. And we had the discourtesy of not repeating. When you have a child with special needs, what if it was an autistic child? You know what I'm saying? What if it was a child that had other type of learning disabilities where they're perfectly cognitive in communication, but they're not okay with learning? They learn different. They have dyslexia. I don't have any of those things, but I do have a special way I need to learn. After I understand perfectly what my teacher has just told me, I still, for my own purposes of remembering for a test, remembering for operational purposes, remembering for functionality, I have to write my own layman's term, Katie version of the notes. So in other words, if she says objects in class, and I'll go objects, well, class was the big thing and objects was a little thing. That's the way I would have to read my notes so that when I refer back to it, I can remember that this is what the professor relayed to the class and this is what he said it meant. Oh, I remember that. But that's the way I learned. And unlike these poor children now, I have a mouth. So I'll go and I'll say, listen, I don't understand that. Wait. Okay, I get that. So does that mean that this, and this is what that stands for? That's what I would do. And if you're getting paid by public funding, by private dues, by union, by anyone in the community to be an educator, it's your darn job to answer as many questions as necessary in your capacity for that student to get it. And if you are above your capacity or beyond your restrictions, then it is your job to then refer that person to the next level so that they can get the help they need regardless. The gravy train don't stop flowing, bro. But you don't have the right to desecrate what little safety net a child has left by putting their most embarrassing moments, their most bad choices online. Unless, and I'm going to say this, if you have a child that behavior is dangerous to the community to the point where it's not just growing pains, it's not just teenager, you know, stuff. It's something that maybe your child is one of those few people that were missing the gene that gives them conscience, like sociopathy. We spoke about a child that was like that, that's now sitting in a juvenile detention for burning a child's face with scalding water. Okay? If you have a child like that, there is no parental love that can be given to a sociopath because they don't know emotion. They know how to mimic it to get their way, but they do not understand it, which means that they are a danger on all levels to society. Now, that is something that it is your job as a parent, most of all, to get that child help for themselves and for the people around them. So that's a different story where you put out a warning notice or something to that effect. And that's a heartbreaking decision, and I understand that. But other than that, your discipline and your place is in the home. Unless you're a parent that's living in a abusive situation where the other parent involved won't leave, you can't get away, then you can do that for your children's safety. But the child's and transgressions, absolutely not. A teacher who has absolutely no rights to my child's private life outside of whatever little access in the classroom they have, putting my child's personal face, personal struggle while they're in there in the first place on social media so that she could get likes and she can ridicule in private and she could look popular and stir up a conversation because she's probably too snotty for the people around her to want to deal with her. And then try to disguise it under a lie that she was trying to do a teaching moment for other children and still had no remorse when the hearing was over to say, I could see what the judge meant and that wasn't my intention. No, absolutely not. Christina, do you have anything else you'd like to add on? Is there anything else that you feel you should say or any experience that you think that, you know, would be a good warning or help to someone else? Because this show is about tackling the problem, talking about the problem, and then the last half is finding a solution if we can.
They should make more rules about the teachers can't, like, follow the guidelines, and if they act inappropriately, they should be punished as well, not just the children. If she did wrong, she did wrong. Like, it should be in a rule book or something that, you know, they shouldn't be doing this, posting children online. I mean, we have to, as parents, we have to sign permission if they're taking pictures of the kids, like in yearbooks and stuff like that. So obviously, she should be in trouble for that. She really should.
I'm going to allude to my co-host so she could tell me what she feels on that, and then I definitely want to respond to what you said because it's funny how that train of thought is kind of running common over here. Asia, your response to that?
Yes, I agree with Christina. And it's like, you know, I keep hearing, not just in the court case episode, but I keep hearing it's a teaching moment. It's a teaching moment. I'm teaching my child this, or I didn't teach my child this. You know, when there are people in the comments like, well, why would you post this on social media? The people that are concerned for the child, I'm trying, even though I know I will never wrap my head around it fully because I'm a mother and I just wouldn't have, I don't think I would ever do such a thing. I would scoop so low for that. I'm trying to understand, what would you be teaching your child exactly? Because all you're doing, and I came across this article since you posted the pre-topic discussion earlier this afternoon, and it was an article that was, it was called, is public humiliation or public shame an ineffective course for your children? Now, she did say something that got me that I fully agreed with. I'm just going to read a little first little sentence. It says, shaming doesn't teach them what to do. It just punishes them for doing it. And I single-handedly agree. You're not teaching your child anything. You're furthermore punishing them outside of your home. And then it causes, as like you were saying with the anxiety, for the kids that already got anxiety, for the kids that are already dealing with depression, you guys are the parents that are doing that without more intentional way of justifying, like you said, using the social media outlet as a form of communicating what needs to be talked about, but instead just bashing your child because that's your child, because you feel that you can do so, you're causing more anxiety, more depression. You're hurting your child. As I was saying earlier, you're just hurting your child more and more.
Absolutely. I agree. And now both you ladies, I'm going to go to you, Christina, something that I wanted to you know, add on. The punishment part that you said, funny you should say that, because as soon as I saw this, I said there should be some very strict penalties. Now, they already are a little afraid of, actually, no, teachers used to be afraid of saying even the most smallest thing that could be considered an infraction. Like nowadays, anything could be considered sexual harassment. So everything is hypersensitive. Everything, you know, could be considered a misleading point or something. So just don't do it. Not even the smallest of things. Things that even me as a woman would be like, okay, come on, that if somebody thought that was sexual harassment, like even I'm sitting there going, nah, that's a little too much. But to the point where there are some people that are so afraid that any little thing could be that they follow the rules. That teacher clearly has no fear of being banned or barred. Now, I feel, since you have to agree to go on this televised show, that you do understand that anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law, right? And I think that the penalty for what she did should already be strict. And if you did it online, that there should be an additional unique type of cybercrime infraction penalty tacked on to that. I believe that. So I agree with you on that, Christina. DeLasia, what you just said, with regards to it doesn't teach, it punishes for doing. Absolutely. Absolutely. First of all, like I said, I agree with some methods that some of them were doing. And even the ones that I don't agree with them posting on online, I could understand the reason for doing it. And it wasn't as messed up as everyone said. So there's like the guy who did this with his running son. That I think parents should see, because it was a perfect example of what to do without putting the child's sense of security on the chopping block. If you're the parent exposing them to the humiliation they experience outside, where they should be able to come home and cry to you about, you know, Susie Jones was mean to me today, the girls don't want to talk to me, the guys, bullied me in the hall. You're the person they're supposed to be able to come and talk to about it and feel safe and cry about it and be able to cry without embarrassment to you. But if you're the one going, oh, so you went over there today and punched a boy in the stomach because without asking what happened and you did it because you want the world who don't know anything about you and just going to use you for a meme at some point to believe that you're a good parent. There's plenty of times that we've come up with some unorthodox things to do to our kids to get the message across. We didn't post it on Facebook. There's no need for that. But if there is something that is teachable, you know what? Plenty of topics that I've had, that I've done here, has been to things I've gone through with my kids, or I've gone through an ex-husband or a boyfriend, or I've gone through with friends of mine, or something I witnessed to love one. And I don't go on Facebook and go, my daughter-in-law today said, my kid today said, so you know, that's not what it's for. It's not the players in the game. It's the game itself that needs to be put out there. There are ways to make a topic out of something where the community can learn without you putting somebody down to make themselves want to shoot themselves. There are kids, no one's understanding, with all of this pharmaceutically induced society, nobody wants to take the time out to allow kids to experience growing pains. Everything that is a growing pain that the kids will eventually come to and find themselves and become an individual and get through it now is being assessed for some pill. Everybody's scrambling to find the damn label. Everybody wants to ostracize and penalize and categorize your children. If they cry because the boy in gym doesn't like them but likes Susie, oh, you're depressed. Let's find a pill for you. If they're crying, oh, if they're crying and then they're happy, oh, you're bipolar. If they say I feel like I want to go change myself because I don't have, my breasts aren't big enough or my muscles aren't tall enough or I'm not. Let's go do something and get you surgically changed up. Because you're not good as you are. You got to change. You got to be seen. You got to do what they're doing. Because you're not good enough as you are to be able to have the right to experience human feelings without some sort of pharmaceutical something that's going to supposedly treat this system or give you five more and have your nine-year-old jumping off a bridge this time, not just thinking about it. I saw too many bullied children with bad results wind up killing themselves at the age of 10 and 11. What child thinks of suicide at 10? Children don't think about how to actually go through with finding a method to off themselves at 10, 9, 8, and 14 as a way to solve a problem that just happened. And you, the parent, became their biggest bully? You, the teacher, became their biggest aggressor? Some of these teachers are so lucky that half these kids aren't Carrie White from Stephen King's Carrie. We have a responsibility as our children's everything after God. And that's me as a believer speaking. I don't want to hear anybody telling me, well, God is a good thing, but, you know, that is me. I'm a believer. I do not denounce it. But after God, it's my children. It should be after God is me. But that's the way it's supposed to be. And you, those of you going, what did she say? Before you can put your children before you, you have to be good. Because if you're not good, your children, you're useless to your children. So after God is me. And then it's my kids. But it never works that way for us parents because our children always come before us. But once we pass that, for our children, it's us. Our father is the first example of a man your son and daughters will ever see. Their mother is the first example of a woman your son and daughters will ever see. And your child, your girl is supposed to mirror, and your son is supposed to want to emulate his father. What is you putting them out on the internet with cropped hair that looks like somebody burned them on one side and chopped off the other going to do for his self-esteem or going to say to him about you? When he faces the humiliation that action caused him, who can he run home to and tell? Can't be you, because you're the reason for it. So now what? You threw them back into a society that already abandoned them because they got tired of being your kind of a buffer village by saying, hey, we understand that you parents have it hard. So when they're 17 and they get their first little permit or they get their driver's license, they're not going to be able to fully have full privileges yet because they have to get to that transition of understanding life experience, maturity, and starting to understand responsibility. So even after they get their license, they still cannot drive past a certain hour at night. They're still going to need to have an adult in the car with them for the first year while they transition. And then we will start to allow them slowly to embrace new responsibilities. They don't want to do that anymore. They got lazy. They were like, what do you mean guidelines for children? Nobody wants to print that anymore. Well, listen, just throw some boxes of condoms at the front desk. Put it next to the M&M box. You know, when they go out there and they have the candy sale, let them have a treat yourself to a colorful choice of contraceptives. Let's do safe sex through fun. What do you mean tell your parents? Don't tell your parents. Oh, wait a minute. That condom is made of some outdated material and it's causing cancer in children. Wait a minute. What do you mean the child developed a tumor? We can't treat the mom. Dad, Well, why did you let your child come out and get this free stuff? Oh, so you decided, mom and dad, that we might as well smoke weed with your kid? Okay, now they went out there and they got some bad stuff, but they were smoking with you, right? Who do they come home to? Oh, it's on the internet. That's right. The internet is their friend. Mm-hmm. When they see their face on a meme because somebody copied and pasted some still of them of a video you put together, or start taking your funniest statement about your child and made a TikTok video with that statement on loop, making you look stupid as they do them repeated clips that go over and over again. Oh, yeah, what's going to happen then? Because now not just the child, but you are also an embarrassment to them. So where do they retreat? Where do they go? Where's their comfort? Where's their safety? Oh, it's booze. It's booze, pills, then the roof. It's some messed up guy who doesn't have any boundaries about how young he'll take your daughter. It's some messed up guy that doesn't have any boundaries about how young he'll take your son. It's a messed up woman who's got cougar fever that decided that, you know what, I don't want to be a grandmother. I don't want to be a mother. I've done that all that time. You're 16. You're 13. I've done my job. But I like your boyfriend. And let's post this together on the internet. Because that's what we need nowadays. That's exactly what our children need nowadays. Something else to allow them too much access too soon when they're not ready for it, when they don't understand it, but they're given all the stuff and the responsibility to do it even though they don't have the experience for the responsibility. Yeah, that'll teach them. And now we have the teachers who are no longer on the hook because now they talk about your kids' business in the hallways. Now the security guards, by the way, Avante Okendo, of a 14-year-old autistic child who was nonverbal and did not speak, got to wander away from a security guard who was too busy to be bothered with these brat kids, as she said, and let him wander past her because how dare he disrespect her by not answering her question, and let him float out, wander off until his mother found him weeks later floating up in the bottom of a creek somewhere that he got caught by a rock. Because there is no society anymore. So what are you doing posting your children's most inner dark secret and conflicts and struggles on social media as a punishment? And I digress. So you ladies, what do you feel on this one? And there's still time, listeners, if you want to call in, 347-327-9967, please press 1. I want to hear from you parents. I want to hear from you educators. I want to hear from you fathers. I want to hear from you children, even if you're up this late, to say how you feel, because maybe we parents need to hear from you kids as well. So I'm going to go to you, Christina. Anything else you want to add? Anything else you feel that should be put up there? Any response to what I said?
No, you're correct about everything you said. It's true.
Thank you. I have watched you two ladies in action. One that has an autistic child, one that has an anxious child. One person who I've met on this panel because of my disabilities as a driver, who before I saw her face, I saw the magnitude of greatness that she had left. That was you, Christina. And the things that we faced and talked about and the things that we dealt with, and I told you about the show and how we do this stuff, we both had the same, we're more closer to each other in the age area, the age bracket. And then I have you, Asia, who's a mature 20-something with a child with a special need, to understand exactly why the need for a tight-knit safety net and sense of community and bonding is necessary. Because most of the time we deal with one half of the initial mandatory fence not being there. So we already have to fill in the blank slats and do 100% of the job with 50% of the tools and 25% available of that. And you, Christina, are dealing with you having your own motherhood thing to do, and then you being such a beautiful person to the community. And then when you are a heart-feeling person like that, the community hurts. The community hurts all your hurts. It's hard for you to sit back and hear people that you drive back and forth all day or people that you interact with all day say that somebody put something that was close to them. For example, I'm going to give you an example. This is about a little child. The child was, let me see, was maybe six. I think it's first grade, if I'm not mistaken, whose mom, the mother had to deal with getting some cancer removed. It wasn't terminal, thank God. It was something that was starting, but because of some other issues she had, she couldn't get the surgery done like all in one shot. She had to go for two or three. So that kept her kind of down on a extended recovery type period, meaning she had to really take it easy and she really needed help. So her mom, who's a little bit older, has some disabilities, was the one that was taking the grandson back and forth to school. Now, this grandmother is not old, but she had disabilities that caused her mobility to be off, you know? And the boy dropped his, I don't know if it was a sippy cup or something, and she had bent to go get it, and I guess she lost footing of her cane, and she sort of lost her footing, but she didn't fall, thank God. She managed to, I guess, you know, maneuver her way back up. But somebody took a camera phone picture of it and put it on the internet. And thank God it was one of them stupid ones that once it's there for a certain amount of time, it disappears and deletes forever. I don't know. DeLasia, which platform is that?
I don't think I recall.
Is it Snapchat? Which is the one that you put something on and then you see the story for about 24 hours or so and then it goes away? Was it Snapchat?
That would be either Snapchat and Instagram.
Okay.
Which
so,
both very similar.
Okay. So, but this grandmother had to deal with the fact that somebody else who knew her child saw it and told that person, and then that mom. This grandmother knows nothing about that. She helps everybody in the community. And it turns out that the person who did it was somebody she helped, like, raise pretty much and was good to. Like, you little damn ingrate. For fun. And then the boy who did it is not even one of those troublemaking kids, but was giving into peer pressure because he was always being called a nerd. You understand? Like, it's stupid. So you have all this going on that these kids are doing, and they're going to make dumb choices, feeling that they got to validate themselves with people who feel invalidated of themselves but know how to portray it well by being a bully to people beneath them. And we have enough to deal with having to expect that, hey, my team's going to do something real dumb today. And I'm really going to have to deal with that. And then I'm going to have to figure out how to say it while I punish them and love them at the same time. You already have that to deal with when you know they're approaching age 10. For you to then have to worry about some added crap about you putting it on Facebook and now there's added stuff that you got to deal with. And you did it, but then further along, the most audacious thing is for some educator that's supposed to be helping along and definitely is under some legal restrictions to expose your child and their private problems and their bodies. Because you felt it was a teaching moment. If you are that good a teacher, get your own damn materials and leave my kid out of it. Get your own teaching moment materials. Find another visual aid. One that won't get you beat up and one that won't get you put in jail and one that won't put my kid in a position that can't be rectified. Because no matter what you say now, no matter how much money her mother won in a lawsuit, the damage is done. Words hurt. Pictures on the internet never die. old habits are hard to kill. Something somebody saw a year ago, even if it was taken down, the ridicule that went with it will live somewhere. Going on Maury Povich to be like, that's the father. I know it's this. And you think that baby's not going to grow up and find an archive of it somewhere? Putting out there that your daughter or your son did this so you could get 15 minutes of fame with somebody that didn't pay you for it and wouldn't give a darn about you once those ratings are done? That is a problem. So we're down to our last 13 minutes. I want to see if you ladies have some final words, anything you can offer to suggest to other people, and then I'm going to close up for the night. So starting with you, Asia.
You know, circling back to what you was talking about as far as the you're being your child's bully, I 100% can agree with that. You're teaching your child, if teaching them anything, that it's okay to bully and harass and, you know, intimidate another person if you think that you're correcting them, if you think that you're teaching them a lesson. You're telling them, don't accept bullying. Don't accept nobody talking down on you. Don't expect nobody to make you feel less than who you are. But then also in the same breath, hey, I'm the only one that can do it. And there's parents that actually feel like that. Even as far as my mother, she used to do the same thing. She used to embarrass me. Well, I took it as embarrassment, and it is embarrassment when you're trying to correct your child for whatever it is that the child did wrong, and you're just shouting at the top of your lungs while y'all are out in public, or you call your family member, and you're just bashing your child, just, you know, ranting about how she's whatever type of scenario that you want to put in. And it's just like, okay, like, you're just bully. You're my bully now, as you were saying. The house is supposed to be your safe spot, your safe haven. You're comfortable. You're supposed to be able to be comfortable with your parents, sit down and talk to them. They can nurture you, make sure you're safe. But to then have that fear to where, okay, well, if I mess up, I can't even go to my parents because they're going to treat me just as bad as, if not worse, than anybody else that does something different. So, yes, I can agree. With as far as the teacher, She knew she did wrong. I don't even know why she even attempted to make it a point, justify what she did. She knew she was wrong. And I'm glad that, you know, even though the daughter should have got, I'm not sure how the case ended, but she should have got emotional damages. She should have sued for emotional, because that is something that's going to stick with her for a while, especially all her peers are just, every time they see her, that's the girl that cheated. Or the next time she take a test, she has to hesitate, like, oh, if I get a perfect score, are they going to think that I'm cheating? Or, you know, are they going to be watching me 10 times mm-hmm. now because I got caught cheating? You know, it's mm-hmm. just she's going to live with that fear, and that's causing her anxiety, as we was just talking about. You're setting that child up for failure. Now, it's already bad enough that parents do that on a day-to-day basis. People have different parenting skills, I guess. But it's even worse when somebody that's supposed to be educating your child does it, especially in a school that I would understand, I would probably assume has zero tolerance for bully or doesn't tolerate it or, you know, would expect the child that is being bullied or do feel threatened to come and step up. Now you're teaching that child, even if I'm being bullied in school, there's nobody for me to step up to because my own teacher is bullying me. She's making a, quote, example, telling the class that cheating is not the way to go. You're right, cheating is not the way to go in life. You're not going to win. But to then go on social media and do it, you're just hurting her. You're not teaching her anything. You're really hurting her. And you hurt yourself because now, as you said, kids can find that archive. So let's say the teacher's children find that archive growing up when they're of age to understand what's actually going on. You just put it out there that you're a bully at your big age. I think you said 37, 30, 27, whatever.
27.
You're a grown adult, mm-hmm. and you're a bully, and you're supposed to be an educator. That is very frowned upon, and I hopefully she lost her job because she doesn't need that position if that's what she's going to be doing with it.
I would think that that's the least that would happen. I'm going to allude to you in just a minute, Christina. Honestly, I think that's the least that should happen. Not only that, The mother should have sued for emotional damage, but she did not. And I have a feeling the judge would have given it to her. Additionally, I also would have had the judge order her to delete any kind of material she had. Because the funny thing that's bothering me, not once did it come up that she took it down. That she learned her lesson and took it down. So I can tell you right now that I believe that girl's picture is still up in this lady's social media account. Because it was not, the mother didn't ask for emotional damage, nor did she ask the judge to order it to be removed. And the teacher didn't say anything about feeling bad enough to take it down. Christina, do you have any final remarks you'd like to add?
No.
I thank you for coming through. I know that, you know, you're shy with some things, but this isn't a place that, you know, you have to be a superstar or anything. This is a place where real topics that affect us on a daily basis that people don't want to address, our thoughts and our feelings, and we have a voice here. So that's the situation. So I'm going to talk to you guys out there in Listen Land. I want to thank everybody that has joined me for the first time. I hope that you felt welcome. I hope you felt, enriched. And I hope you understand that this is a place where we talk about real things, real talk, real issues, as my intro says. And it's not just the gossip TV. I want things to change. I want something to happen. Hopefully, if enough of us are upset with it and we can all share our different ways of tackling problems, maybe we could all come up with a way where we could have a bigger community than we think that's actually there to make it better. So with that being said, everybody, join me here Wednesday night, because Wednesday night's topic is going to be this. Do you think that celebrities should be mandated to take a stand on current events that are happening? And I'll give you the example, the war going on right now with Israel and Palestine. There was a DJ from Vlad TV that says, where is Drake, who's a Jew, and where is DJ Khaled, who's Palestinian, making a stance? And that's the question. Do you think that just because they're celebrities, somebody should force them to take a stand and make a comment, you know, a personal opinion comment on the situation? So that's Wednesday. I will see you Wednesday night here, 10 p.m., same bat time, same bat channel. We're going to go out with your, what's her name? I want to pronounce it correctly. Oh, Angeline. I'm sorry, baby girl. I need my glasses fixed up. Angeline is requesting Untitled. Everything's great. So we're going to go out with that. And until Wednesday night, everybody, be blessed. Be a blessing. Make a difference. And I will see you here.
There's some moments when I feel stuck, cause the life now just sucks. I use a smile as a cover up to make you believe that it's just right. But when I get sad, I'ma just hide. And when I get mad, I'ma just fight. I love all the love that I get, and I guess everything's great. Sometimes I feel like I'm trapped up, but most times I feel like I have love. And I question if it's ever enough, cause there's a space and it can't be filled up. Yeah, everything's great, yeah, everything's great. Sometimes I feel like I'm trapped up, yeah, everything's great. Or I say that, yep. You believe so, girl. You don't know that, but it's not true. Soon you'll see that, let's believe so. I'm undercover and film like I'm the villain, but I don't show it, don't need to see what I be feeling. Woo. You're showing me love and I'm using it to the fullest, but I'm still fighting these demons. Hey, now you know. Sometimes I feel like I'm trapped up, but most times I feel like I have love. And I question if it's ever enough, cause there's a space and it can't be filled up. Yeah, everything's great, yeah, everything's great. Sometimes I feel like I'm trapped up, yeah, everything's great. I put on a face so I don't scare you. It's small but I'm still going through it too. I make believe that everything's great, but we're all humans and we all make mistakes. Sometimes I feel like I'm trapped up, but most times I feel like I have love. And I question if it's ever enough, cause there's a space and it can't be filled up.
like I'm trapped up, yeah. Everything's great. Sometimes I feel like I'm trapped up, but most times I feel like I have love. And I question if it's ever enough, cause there's a space and it can't be filled up, yeah. Everything's great, yeah. Everything's great. Sometimes I feel like I'm trapped up, yeah. Everything's great.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.